Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of Jesus' most memorable and recognizable statements was made as he hung on the cross. He looked up to our Father in heaven and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this great truth that's revealed in that statement is actually misunderstood by traditional Christianity. Satan has deceived traditional Christianity into believing and teaching that God is trying to save the world now. God is not trying to save the world now. God will try to save the world in the future, but God is not and has never in the past tried to save the world. So the question obviously is, when will God begin to save the world? And the answer is, God will begin to save the world when Jesus begins his reign on earth after he has set up the kingdom of God. For proof of that, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20 and we'll read verses 1 through 6. This is Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, called Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. He cast him into a bottomless pit and set a seal upon him." Why? "So that he should not deceive the nations during that 1,000-year period of time." So there will be nations on this earth during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ as he sets up the kingdom of God on earth and begins for the first time to try to save the world. And it says, after this 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a little season. Then it goes on to say, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and," now notice this next part, "I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." So these people were dead. Notice the next statement, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these dead people lived again. They were resurrected. This is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection of all of the faithful followers of our Father in heaven. These people are called the first fruits. Now there will be a second resurrection, which is for the second fruits, so to speak. And let's continue in Revelation chapter 20, where it says, "But the rest of the dead," the rest of the dead, the rest meaning people other than the ones who have been resurrected during the first resurrection, "but the rest of the dead did not live again," so they were not resurrected, "until the 1,000 years were finished." That's when the rest of the dead will be resurrected. And so he goes on to say, "This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, because people who are in the first resurrection are resurrected to eternal life." Now, what are we going to be doing, those of us who are the first fruits who are resurrected to eternal life? It says, "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So what God is doing at this time is God is preparing a people, the first fruits, who will be in the first resurrection, to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years when he sends Jesus Christ back to the earth to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. God is not at this time trying to save the world. God is at this time calling out a people, that's what the church is, called out ones, calling out people from the world, giving them advanced training, so to speak, preparing them to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, so that the saints, the first fruits, the faithful followers of our Father, can rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, teaching the nations who remain alive after Christ's return, so that when the second resurrection comes, which is for all of those people who have never had a chance at salvation, so that when those people are resurrected, the second fruits, so to speak, the saints and Christ, can, for the first time, offer them salvation. That is the depth of the wonderful truth as revealed in Jesus' statement when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do, because you have not opened their minds to see what they are doing." So really, it is God's responsibility to attempt to save everyone, but God is not doing that now. So Jesus said, "Please forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now this statement can be found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. But now let's go on to Romans chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 through 18. This is Romans chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 through 18. Because I want you to notice that God says that it is his prerogative to show mercy to some and to show judgment to others. God is not showing mercy to everyone at this time, and he's not giving judgment to everyone at this time. God is showing mercy to some and judgment to others. Let's read that in Romans 9, and this is verses 6 through 18. Paul is speaking here, and he's saying, "Don't think that the word of God has not taken full effect." And he's speaking about Israel. So he goes on to say, "For they are not all Israelites which are of Israel." So in other words, not all people who are considered Israelites by God are physical Israelites. They're not all descendants of physical Israel. Neither, because they are the physical seed of Abraham, are they all children. So this is the key here. How do we become children? It says, "But in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was a son of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Abraham went into Hagar at Sarah's insistence, but God had promised to Abraham that one of his own loins would be his son. So Isaac was a child of promise that was born to Abraham through Sarah, even though Abraham, and or actually Sarah, was past the childbearing age. So this was a miraculous child that was promised to Abraham, and it came to pass. So just in that same manner, we, the church of God, the spiritual children of God, are the children of God through promise, through a miracle. So let's go on in the scripture. It says, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise: at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived," that through Isaac, it says that God said to her, "The elder shall actually serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have preferred, but Esau I have not preferred. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid." Now this was done. God made this decision with the children not even being born yet. They had not done evil or good. So this wasn't a matter of choosing someone for favor based on their goodness. It was simply a decision that God made for a very specific purpose. And the scripture goes on to say, question, "Is there unrighteousness with God?" The answer is, God forbid. That's foolishness. "For God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So he's setting us up to explain another example of the same thing, like Isaac being preferred over Ishmael, and like Jacob being preferred over Esau. Now here's a third example. It says here, "For the scripture says about Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised up Pharaoh, that I might show my power through him, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." So God showed his power, really, in Moses against Pharaoh by bringing down Pharaoh, who was the leader of the greatest nation. So God set up Pharaoh in order to bring down Pharaoh. And he goes on to say, God himself says, therefore God has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardens that person's heart. You remember that he hardened Pharaoh's heart to make sure that Pharaoh would not let the people go until he had actually slain the firstborn of all of the Egyptians. Now here's another astounding example of the same principle, but in this case God says that he blinds some and gives sight to others. This is in Romans chapter 11, and we'll read verse 1 to start. Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. Again, don't even think about that. That's a ridiculous thought. He hasn't cast away Israel. And Paul is speaking, saying, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So God hasn't totally forsaken Israel, because he has called some Israelites. Paul was one of them. Now let's drop down to verse 7, and we'll read through verse 12. What then? Israel has not obtained that which it seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Please read that for yourself. The rest were blinded, and they are blinded until this day. According as it is written, God, no one else, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. But why is this? Let's drop down now to verse 25, and we'll read through verse 27. I don't want you to be ignorant of what I'm just telling you. This is a great mystery, but I don't want you to be ignorant, so I'm going to reveal the mystery to you. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, but only for a while. And that while will last until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then afterwards, all Israel shall be saved. Do you hear what God is saying? At this time, he has actually blinded Israel, but there will come a time in the future, this will be the second resurrection, when he will take the blinders off of the eyes of the nation of Israel and give them sight to see his plan of salvation. So that's why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because they have been blinded to the fact that God is offering salvation through Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. They have been blinded, but the blinders will be taken off at some time in the future. And that time will be actually starting when Christ returns to set up his kingdom, because all of the Israelites that are alive and remain through the tribulation and the day of the Lord, who are still alive when Christ returns and establishes the kingdom of God here on earth, salvation will be given to them at that time, and then all of the other Israelites that have died all throughout the ages will be given salvation when they are resurrected in the second resurrection. And Israel is simply a type of the world. The same thing will happen for the world. God has blinded most of the world. He has not tried to open their eyes yet. He has only chosen a few. Many are called, many are witnessed to, but few are chosen. But God will choose at the second resurrection, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, to reveal Jesus the Christ to people, to begin the process of salvation for all people. So the love of God is that he says, right now, Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. But there will come a time when Jesus will pray to the Father, Father, please reveal to them the truth about me as the Messiah. Please help them to understand that through me they can have salvation for sins. That is the love of God.